right, LA, thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it, as always. Shortened show tonight. We'll go till 7:30 tonight. LAFC will follow, LAFC and the Seattle Sounders. But we'll make sure to pack in this 1 hour of Los Angeles Lakers basketball like we always do. Tanya Ganguly coming up at 7 o'clock. She's inside the bubble, has been at all these exhibition games for the Lakers, and I want to start right there. Exhibition games are over. Now the restart begins this upcoming Thursday, but let me reflect a little bit because we've got a chance to watch some Lakers basketball this morning, or actually this afternoon, 12 o'clock tip-off. Got a chance to watch a lot of these role players for the Lakers, some of these bench players, see what they're doing. Ireland mentioned he's getting excited about what Deion Waiters can do and J.R. Smith can do. So I want to focus on that and also focus on really all three preseason games or three exhibition games. So let's do this. As we get started, what have I noticed over the three scrimmages? Basically, it looks like the team is, number one, enjoying themselves. Number two, incredibly focused. It's a perfect balance. This chemistry, it looks like, is still there, and everybody has the same goal. So that's one of the things I was most curious about as the season was getting started again. I know the Lakers got something big to play for. Not too many teams are in this position. Not too many teams have a chance to win an NBA championship. Of course, Lakers are one of these handful of teams inside of the bubble. So you never question that. But one of the question marks I thought was fair, and this is something that we'll kind of watch as we get closer to not just the restart, but you get closer to the postseason. Can the Lakers pick up from where they left off? I think for me, that's always been the biggest question, is they were rolling before basketball stopped. They were rolling before, obviously, the NBA decided they had to postpone the season because of COVID-19. So you have these 4+ months off. How would the Lakers look? I'm not concerned, and no Laker fans concerned. Neither are the players or the head coaches as far as winning these exhibition games. But how do they look? Is the rhythm there? Can they rebuild that chemistry? Do they all look like they're still pulling the rope in the same direction? And for me personally, these three games that I got a chance to watch, all three of them, it seemed like the Lakers are picking up where they left off. Now, is that going to change come Thursday when you face a team like the Clippers? Of course it is. Is that going to change as you have Toronto and Utah and Denver and Houston and some really good formidable opponents coming up in these eight, you know, regular season games to finish off the regular season? They're calling them these seeding games. It is. The competition's going to change. The talent's going to change. And the caliber of teams they're going to face is obviously going to be a big difference. But I will say this. I will say that there's got to be more teams concerned about the Lakers and the Lakers concerned about them. One of the things that I think is so key to the Lakers is how are their role players and their bench players going to perform? And can they do it on a consistent basis? So I want to highlight, getting a chance to watch these last three games, listen to them. For the love of God, got a chance to actually go into the studio on Saturday. Was there with Ireland, was there with Michael Thompson, and you know, did a kind of a shorter version of the post-game show. But Saturday's game, let me start off with Saturday's game real quick. So it's quick to forget about that game because we just had a game at noon today. But the game on Saturday is a great example of watching a player who has an incredible amount of potential, but you never know what you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis. Mason said it perfect. Mason said it right there in crosstalk. He talked about how Kyle Kuzma, it's just not consistent enough. And by the way, not only is he right, not only is that accurate, not only are there Kuzma fans out there, and we're all Kuzma fans, we're all cheering for the Los Angeles Lakers, so you have to be a Kuzma fan. But I think that's the same message that has so far been the theme of Kyle Kuzma all season long. On Saturday, Kuz put up 25 points. He went 10 of 13 from the field. Only took 13 shots. He started off 6 for 6. Ended up 10 of 13, and it wasn't like Kuzma needed 25 shots to get 25 points. That's the most important thing, you know, when you look at a player of Kuzma's caliber. Is he efficient? Is he taking the right shots? And the thing I loved about Kuzma's game, and I say all this because as we get into Thursday and Lakers play the Clippers, and then as we eventually get into that postseason, Kuzma's going to be key. If Kuzma's consistent, maybe nobody's got a shot against the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Kuzma was doing it under circumstances that Anthony Davis got poked in the eye, only played 9 minutes in the first quarter. By the way, AD was 9 points and 10 rebounds in just 9 minutes. And then Kuz had those opportunities. But the thing that I loved watching with Kuz on Saturday, I'm going to highlight a few of these role players right now because they are going to be the difference. And it's also enjoyable to highlight the role players when a lot of the main guys aren't playing. But for Kuz, the one thing that I loved is Kuz wasn't forcing anything. When you start off 6-for-6, it's not uncommon for you to end up taking 20 shots in a game. You think you're feeling it. But Kuz was disciplined. MT on the broadcast with Ireland, Michael was kept saying, pull up, Kuz, pull up right here, or find Kuzma. You know, he does that because his knowledge of the game, that's what happens in the NBA. Somebody's got a hot hand, they start throwing that ball up. You start off 6-for-6, you end up taking 20, 25 shots. I thought Kuz was very disciplined. I thought the fact that he was able to obviously get those 25 points off the 20, off only 13 shots was fantastic. The bigger question now that's going to come with Kuz, okay, is Kuz going to be able to do this on a consistent basis? I was doing all the post-game shows this year, and there were times where I'd go 2, 3, 4 games without talking about Kuzma because there was nothing to talk about. And I think right now to see how Kuz performed in that game, of course, that's not, you know, a big sample size or anything like that. But you also hear head coach Frank Vogel talking a ton about Kuz, how good he's performing. You know, we're getting these chances now almost every day to hear from head coach Frank Vogel on these Zoom calls post-game or after practice or something along those lines. And every time, you know, coach has said is he's looked as good as anybody on that basketball floor. So that's obviously positive news for the Lakers. Okay, so that was Kuz. And that was me talking about him on Saturday. And by the way, we're going to continue to talk about Kuzma all the time. Nothing's going to change the rest of the way. And that's for positive news or if it's negative news or no news at all. Kuzma always seems to be kind of a polarizing figure for the Los Angeles Lakers. But I kind of want to go on the list here and talk about a few more of these role players because what you get in these exhibition games, you get an opportunity to see bench players, role players. You get an opportunity to see them get big-time minutes and see how they're going to shine. One of the biggest question marks for the Lakers as we get to the end of the season here and we get into the postseason, what's Deion Waiters going to be for the Lakers? Can Deion Waiters be a player that the Lakers can rely on a consistent basis? So let me just kind of explain Deion Waiters the last 2 days, right? The last 2 games, what we saw from Deion Waiters. Earlier this afternoon, 18 points and 6 assists. And then on Saturday, he had 12 points. I don't know how many calls I've taken. Maybe it's on Lakers Talk or post-game show or conversations every time I hear people talking about the Lakers or a lot of these national shows on ESPN, The Jump, Jalen and Jacoby, First Take, any of those shows, how much they say what the Lakers lack is someone to create for their own, right? Like somebody who can just go out there and get a bucket. And when the trade deadline passed, there was a lot of criticism towards the Lakers because nobody felt like they filled that void. They didn't find a way to get that that player that can just get them buckets. And I want to give Rob Pelinka a ton of credit because the Lakers coming up to the trade deadline, there were two things they were missing. They were missing somebody that could play that 3 and 4 position, kind of a tough player, can match up against the Montrezl Harrells of the world. Somebody that you definitely notice their presence down low, but also have the versatility of switching and everything else. They found that in the buyout market, Markieff Morris. And another position that they needed was a player that can create for themselves. Somebody that could just go out and get you a bucket because Danny Green's not going to do that. Alex Caruso, that's not his strength or his ability on a consistent basis. Neither was it KCP or Rondo or Avery Bradley. This is obviously before we got into this bubble situation. I'm talking about more of the right around the trade deadline and the buyout market. So Rob Pelinka went out there. He checked one thing off the list, which was Markieff Morris, a tough person that the Lakers needed, somebody that can, you know, bang down low but still switch on positions and everything else in a positionless basketball type of game. And then the other player he went out and got was Deion Waiters. I want to talk about Deion Waiters coming up next because I think this is a major, major question mark for the Lakers as we restart the season. Can Dion Waiters be for the Los Angeles Lakers what Jamal Crawford was at one point for the Clippers, or Lou Williams is for the Clippers? He can come off the bench and just get you buckets. And I know Lou Williams, he's an unbelievable player and apparently a big fan of chicken wings. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's do this. When we come back, I want to talk about Dion Waiters, how he did these last couple of games, and if he's making a case to find a way to get himself some minutes once this restart begins and once we get into the postseason. Plus, J.R. Smith, Alex Caruso, another couple of players. These are the role players that are performing right now for the Lakers. And just a quick reminder, I got Tanya Ganguly, who's inside the Orlando bubble. She's coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get a chance to get her thoughts on everything going on. So all that coming up next. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On 710 ESPN. Okay, so they're just exhibition games. I understand that. They're just exhibition games, but I want to keep that conversation going about Dion Waiters. This is a question John asked as well, and I love the way John framed it. He's like, hey, is this me talking because I'm such a fan of the purple and gold, or do you think that Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith, there's going to be legit opportunities for them? Let me stay on Dion Waiters for a quick second. Lakers need a player like Dion Waiters. So it's not to say that, you know, oh, well, you already have enough of that type of player. No, that's not the case. This isn't JaVale and Dwight where kind of these guys share that role. Dion Waiters is a player that we've seen in these couple exhibition games, but this has been his career. This is what he's known for. What he's known for is you need a bucket, give me the ball, set me a screen, or let me go one-on-one in this guy, and I'll find a way to get 16 feet out or 18 feet out and hit my jumper, or try a way to get to the basket and get buckets for himself. That's what he's done his entire career. So if the question about Dion Waiters is, can the Lakers use him? They need a player like that. Now it's just up to Dion Waiters to make sure that, you know, he understands the opportunity in front of him. He understands that he had opportunities that he didn't take advantage of in other cities. You know, the latest one in Miami, he definitely didn't take advantage of that. And here's Dion Waiters. I don't want to make comparisons to Dwight Howard, but this was Dwight Howard's opportunity to see if he can keep his career going for a few more years. This is probably J.R. Smith's opportunity. Not probably, it is. To see if he can keep his career going for, you know, another couple years. Dion Waiters is 28 years old. That's a different story. Where Dwight is 34 or 35, somewhere around that age, J.R. Smith's around the same age. Dion Waiters is supposed to be walking into his prime. So I really actually believe that Dion Waiters is going to have a role for the Lakers this postseason. Now, how he takes advantage of it, if it's too selfish of basketball, or he's not doing the right things for the team, then that obviously would be an issue and he'd find himself sitting on the bench. But if that's not the case, and he's paying attention to what the coach is asking him to do, and he's paying attention to what Vogel needs, you know, specifically from him, Dion Waiters is going to get playing time. He is. Because Kyle Kuzma could be a streaky player, somebody who has no experience in the postseason yet. This is, you know, as young as he is, this is going to be his first crack at figuring out what this postseason is going to be like. Anthony Davis, LeBron, yes, they're going to be able to get buckets whenever they need it and create for others and so forth. Dion Waiters is the only player on this team that you can look at and you could say, hey, Dion, we need, if you could be a spark off the bench and get us 10 points in this third quarter, it could change the whole scope of the game. Dion Waiters is one of those players that can do that. I want to play this real quick. This is from head coach Frank Vogel. He lumps in Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith together. This was post-game show on the Zoom video call that we do after the Lakers beat Washington a little bit earlier today. Here's head coach Frank Vogel.
Both definitely did. I think they've had really strong bursts. In particular, today was probably the best day for both of them. It's just, for me, it's been an opportunity. We know they're talented. It's, for me, it's been an opportunity to shape their play the way we want them to fall into their roles. The roles are different. In terms of JR, we asked him this morning to be more aggressive in his catch-and-shoot offense, and he was just that, knocked down 6 for 7. For Deion, being very aggressive, touching the paint, trying to get to the charge circle, making good reads, he did that as well. So, you know, when the guys are coachable and they're trying to do what you're asking them to do, they do it at a high level, they definitely make a case for being in a playoff rotation. So, hopefully those guys, we believe those guys are going to give us a big lift come playoff time.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel. And this is a question by what came from, I forget who asked earlier today. I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe it was Trudell. But that production from those two players, there's a curiosity of, coach, you're going to use these guys? I mean, the Lakers are so deep. Because Rondo's out, because Avery Bradley's out, maybe they'll get more opportunities now. So that's the Deion Waiters part of it. The other side of it, J.R. Smith had 20 points today. He went 6 of 7 from the three-point line today. This is another player who probably is not going to be as isolation as he used to be in his career, but this is a guy that can spot up in the corner. LeBron can find him. He did it when he was in Cleveland all the time. He's a veteran. He's won an NBA championship. I'm very curious of those two players, Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, even though I think their roles are going to be different. But Deion more for me because, like I said, he's 28 years old. He can create for himself, and that's a void that the Lakers most definitely have. So it's nice to see some of these role players. It's nice to see them performing. Kuzma had a nice outage on Saturday. Deion Waiters, I mentioned two good games. J.R. Smith, the 20 points today. And then Alex Caruso had 17 points earlier today as well. And Caruso just being a consistent player. So that's it. Exhibition games are over. Role players will be the difference. Probably the difference of winning a championship or not. That's how key these role players are going to be for the Lakers, because there's no question what LeBron's going to do. Anthony Davis, let's see if he could take his game to even another level come postseason, just because he's never been past that second round. An incredible opportunity for him to win a championship, but these role players are going to be everything. Okay, so Lakers versus the Clippers this coming Thursday. What should we be expecting for the Lakers versus the Clippers this Thursday? Again, let me play something from head coach Frank Vogel. He's talking about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You know, Lakers are in a unique position here. This is a luxury that the Lakers are in, not a necessity like some of these other teams in this bubble that are not only just trying to get in and be one of these final 16 teams, but also there's certain teams they don't want to play. Nobody wants to play the Lakers and the Clippers in the first round. So if you're Dallas and you're sitting at 7, you know, they certainly want to avoid the Clippers in the first round. And then, you know, there's probably a thought process from there. Houston deciding, okay, can we get to the 4 seed or can we get to the 3 seed or the 6 seed? It's going to be important of, you know, who you feel like you match up better against. The Lakers aren't in that position. Lakers are kicking back. And, you know, I'll use this game against the Clippers as an example. Okay, let's say the Lakers lose this game. They have a 5.5-game lead in the Western Conference. I don't think anybody believes the Lakers are going to go 2-6 and the Clippers are going to go 8-0 and the Lakers are going to lose the number one seed. I don't think that's, you know, obviously going to happen. And oh, by the way, even if it did happen, which again, it's not going to, if it did, who really cares? There's no home court advantage. So it's not going to be like it's that big of a deal. But the luxury that the Lakers have, how much do they want to play LeBron? How much do they want to play Anthony Davis? I mean, I called it, I was as wrong as you can be calling out the regular season. Regular season, I remember walking into this year, I was saying to myself, I'm like, Lakers, they're not going to be worried about the regular season. They'll be a 3 seed, a 2 seed, it doesn't matter. They're just going to be ready, prepared, healthy for the postseason. That's going to be the number one goal. Well, it's actually the opposite. Lakers were shooting for the number one seed. They were sitting in the number one seed before, you know, obviously everything stopped. And here they are now with a 5.5-game advantage. Coach was asked earlier today in the post game how he's going to approach not just these 8 games, but specifically LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Here's head coach Frank Vogel.
We'll see. I don't want to overdo the minutes, you know, but we'll get into that environment and see how the game is playing out. But I certainly don't want to, you know, take those guys minutes too high in Thursday's game. Understanding that it's still a marathon, we have a build up. These guys had 4 months of inactivity playing basketball, so we want to be intelligent with their minutes for sure.
All right, so the approach, between both of these teams, I think, are probably going to be drastically different. I think for the Lakers, like I mentioned, what I'm expecting on Thursday, I'm expecting the Lakers to keep tuning up, right? Just keep working on what they have, working on their strengths, getting back that chemistry. And the Clippers are kind of a head scratcher. This is going to be a question I asked Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times. She's coming up at 7 o'clock. When I say they're a head scratcher, what I'm referring to there, they've had a lot of players at one point, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, Ivica Zubac, all outside of the bubble. Now, these players are all trickling back in. They're here now. I could see the Clippers approaching these 8 seeding games and this game against the Lakers on Thursday just really not caring about the result. And we saw a lot of that during the regular season. And even with that, they had the number two seed in the Western Conference. So what to expect coming up this Thursday? I think it's going to be fantastic that we got Lakers basketball back, that the regular season is back, that they're facing the Clippers, that the game is nationally televised, that Ireland and MT will be on the call. But do I expect this big-time matchup like we had right before the game got stopped, the NBA got stopped and postponed in that March 8th game or whatever that was at Staples Center, where it was a Clippers home game, where the environment was unbelievable, where it felt like a playoff game, where all you were thinking about was, man, I can't wait till these two teams go at it in a 7-game set. I'm not expecting that on Thursday. I mean, I'm not trying to not promote it, but what I'm trying to say is that both these teams have such a big picture in mind strategy-wise. I don't think I'm expecting that these teams are coming out swinging on Thursday. But like I said, I was wrong about the Lakers walking into the regular season. Maybe I'll be wrong about these 8 games. Maybe they do approach these 8 games as, incredibly important. Not for win purposes, not for a standings purpose, but just so you have rhythm as you walk into the postseason. Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times, like I mentioned, if you're watching these games on Spectrum Sportsnet, you hear Tanya, she's there, so she's getting opportunities to ask these questions to the players and to the coaches. So Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times, she's coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times, who's in the bubble. Life in the bubble, as they say, Tanya. First of all, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you joining the show. If you don't mind, just give me how the last couple of weeks have gone for you. I'd love to just kind of get your thoughts on how things are going. And I know for listeners out there, it's such a unique predicament to be in. How are you doing, and how are things going so far?
Yeah, things are going fine. I mean, it is a really weird setting, and it's a weird situation to be covering. Just nothing like this has ever happened before, which is part of why I wanted to do this, part of why I wanted to come. So, that makes all the stuff, all the little things that are hard to get through, you kind of have to remind yourself of that. Quarantine was difficult. And so was, there's still, I mean, we're not allowed to go into a lot of different places. We have a lot of restrictions placed on us. I have to remember to get tested every day. And, a couple of days ago, I didn't remember until like 11:45, and testing closes at midnight. So you got to be careful of some of those things. And it's also a real study in kind of how people react when they aren't, there's very little choice in their life, if that makes sense. I eat what's served every day. Like, they have a menu prepared and they just present it to you. It's not like, I'm not making a lot of decisions about my day-to-day life. So you know, that stuff does wear on you, but also it's a covering this is something that, you know, that no one's ever done before. So you have to balance that.
Tanya, would you say that, I know the Lakers now obviously been there a few weeks, you got three exhibition games under their belt, but just the NBA as a whole, so far from this bubble health perspective, do you think this is exactly how they planned it, or there's still a lot of question marks that are up in the air and they're kind of figuring it out as they go? How would you assess that?
Yeah, I do think that it's kind of going how they planned it. I mean, there's some things that they haven't fully decided yet, like the in-game experience. They're still figuring that out. They don't know exactly how much or if they're going to use crowd noise in the building. The first few games, they were not doing that. They were just having, there was some like music and there were some chants, but it was mostly quiet. Except for, well, of course, it's not quiet during Laker games because the Lakers are very loud themselves. They're probably the loudest team here, which has been a really interesting thing to find out. But those kinds of things are still a work in progress. Like they're trying to figure out, like, how they want the fans to appear during games. They've pre-recorded some, and there's some thought of putting fans live digitally on the boards that surround the court. So, you know, I think most of the stuff from a testing standpoint, from a coronavirus standpoint, things have gone exactly how they wanted to. They actually didn't announce, I don't believe, their testing results this week, today, which they normally have, the last two Mondays, they did announce that. But they've been pretty good. Like they haven't lost very many people, to positive tests.
Yeah. It seems like Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. It seems like, you know, how can you complain from the way they've executed so far in the bubble? But I listened to, you know, the post game after the Lakers beat Washington today. You were asking the Markieff Morris Carusas of the world if they were keeping an eye what was going on in baseball with the Miami Marlins, the Philadelphia Phillies. How do you think the NBA? Listen, I think everybody's paying attention to what's happening in all the leagues, but you think it pertains a little bit less to the NBA, at least for this season, simply because the structure is different?
Yeah, I mean, people did, you know, I had some friends who were like, oh, God, there was an outbreak among the baseball team. Like, how are you doing? Like, is it going to be like that at the NBA? And what I pointed out was that the NBA is doing a very different thing from what baseball is doing. Mm-hmm. The NBA is not having players travel back and teams travel to visit each other. That's I think the biggest flaw in baseball's plan. Like that's where they're going to get a lot of exposure, where their players are going to have a lot of exposure to this. So I think the NBA's the way that the NBA is handling this, they're able to eliminate a lot of that risk. But I do think you have to think about that for next year, because next year, you know, is going to come around very soon. It's going to be not that long after the season ends. And so they're probably still going to have to make some tough decisions about how they start next season and, you know, whether travel will be smart or possible.
Yeah, it seems when you were asking that question, I was curious to hear their responses, and I'm sure everybody right now is living, you know, maybe just living today, right, and trying to get through this season. But it begs the question, and like you mentioned, it's not going to be expected to be a long off season, and I guess if they get through this year, that will be an accomplishment itself. Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. Tanya, you said something a little bit earlier. You talked about how loud the Lakers are, some of the players are, and it is kind of funny because watching the games on TV, you can definitely see their reaction. Deion Waiters scores, or Caruso, or Kuzma, any one of these guys. Do you feel, now that we have a few games under the Lakers belt, the team does, do you feel that it's very similar to what it was during the regular season? What I'm referring to there is the chemistry, the joking around, but also the seriousness. Do you see a lot of similarities?
Yeah, you do see the chemistry a lot, but I think that the talking and what I'm talking about with them being so loud, it's more than that, though. It's more than, like, because they are cheering for each other and they are, like, very into it in that sense. But it's also their defensive communication, right? Like, that's something that they've talked about all season long as being really important. And you can really, really hear that here because there's so few people in the building. We talked to Dion and JR about this, just like, how does it feel? Like, how does it feel to be on this team? Like, what is it like to be part of this? And, you know, they both really talked about how it's such a welcoming and fun environment. Dion kept saying it's a vibe, this team. Like, they really like support each other and get along. And, you know, I've heard that all around the campus, so I'm not allowed to go to the team hotel. But I have heard that, like, around the campus, the Lakers are always eating together. They're always doing things together, even when they don't have to be together.
Yeah, I guess that goes back to what you were talking about with their chemistry. And I feel like there's this unique balance, and not every team, and I know these are just exhibition games, but they genuinely look like they enjoy each other's time together, number one. And number two, obviously, they all look focused. They're just one of a handful of teams that are going to have a chance to win an NBA championship. So that's always great to see as well. Tanya, the three exhibition games for the Lakers, was there anything specific you learned from those three games? Was it too small of a sample size? We had some players that played, some players didn't. What do you take out of those three games?
I think it's hard to draw any real conclusions because the sample size is so small. I think that, Kyle Kuzma had a really good game. Caruso's had a good game. Actually, one thing that we have learned is that Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith are going to get rotational minutes. Their second game, when Frank Vogel said to us, I'm going to try to use a similar lineup to what I will use when the seeding games start, or like in the playoffs also, he played JR a lot. Like, JR entered the game pretty early for KCP, and he didn't come out right away. KCP sat on the bench for a while, and I think Frank was just trying to figure out like what that looks like and how he could use him. And they both look, they both have done some really good things for the Lakers. So I think that those are two guys that we're going to see a lot more of than I maybe expected.
Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times is in Orlando. She's a part of the bubble. She's at obviously each one of these Laker games. Lakers Clippers this Thursday. This will be the official restart of the season. What do you expect from that game? It's kind of, I don't know if tough to gauge is the right way to put it, but the Lakers certainly have such a large advantage in the standings in the Western Conference. Only 8 games left. They're up 5.5 games. Clippers in a unique position as well, where many of their players, other than Kawhi and Paul George, really haven't seen that much. Some of these key role players for them in these exhibition games so far. What do you expect on Thursday? Is this a game that both teams, they're both looking forward to? They're circling on their schedule, or is this just part of the revamp towards getting closer to the postseason?
Well, the Clippers have had a very unique challenge here, which is that they have kind of had a revolving door of players. They've lost a lot of players who have needed to, most of the time they're telling us it's family emergency. Ivica Zubac said today that he tested positive, and so that's why he was late in arriving with the team. Obviously they didn't have Marcus Morris, who got to Orlando a little bit earlier than his brother did, but still was late. Landry Shamet, Lou Williams had to go, and now they're not going to have Lou for the first two seeding games. So that's a pretty significant thing. I think they're just working through how to deal with all this uncertainty and how to, the other day I was at their game and half of it, the bench looked so empty. It was like comically empty. You had 5 guys on the court and then like 3-4 guys sitting on the bench. Like I think there was a substitution happening at the time, so it's not quite that dramatic, but it just was like really stark. And that's, you start to wonder when that kind of thing happens, you start to wonder, is this going to work? Because I don't doubt that they'd be able to contain the virus if it gets into the bubble, but but at, you know, the cost might be that it's hard to put on a game.
Tanya, final one, and again, appreciate you doing this inside the Orlando bubble. What has been the vibe at the games? I'm trying to, you know, I'm watching them on TV, and there's, you know, it obviously the experience on TV is always going to be different than being there live in person. And it sounds like you're going to more than just Laker games. You're getting that opportunity to see some of these other teams. What's that experience like? What has that experience been like? How can you, you know, convey for those out there that are trying to imagine what it's like to be in front of these games with no crowds? What's that been like for you?
It's been interesting. I think I pay a lot more attention to what's happening off the court than the players do. That's what you heard Caruso today say, that like, I asked him if he noticed the crowd, that they were adding crowd noise. And he was like, not really. I don't really notice anything unless it happens when I'm sitting on the bench. And he played a lot today. So, you know, it's just a strange environment. Like every day you'll see something, you'll be like, oh, that's weird. Or, oh, that's interesting. And they're trying as much as they can to replicate home arenas and replicate the home game feel. But it's just, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be the same thing. I know they were trying with the crowd noise that they were using in the arena today. They were trying to kind of go with the flow of the game, but it doesn't really sound like a real crowd. It was a little quieter. It did kind of create this like white noise effect that was a little strange. You know, and then also in the Visa Center, which is where the Lakers played today, you're so close to the action. Like this is, you know, the best seats in the NBA are in Oklahoma City and Dallas and Memphis. They have courtside seats for reporters still. But even that, you're like a row back. This one, I'm right on the, like 3 feet from the sideline. And sometimes if the ball goes out of play, it bounces into the tables and I have to send it back onto the court so that they can continue the game. You know, it's like that kind of thing happens. And it's just altogether a very bizarre and strange experience.
Well, Tanya, we appreciate you kind of giving the perspective because it is, I know it's so unique and it's so different, and whatever we're watching on TV or whatever we're talking about on the radio, it doesn't compare to actually being there in person. So I appreciate you doing this. Hopefully as the season progresses, we can have you back on again.
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks for checking in.
All right, that's Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times. Let's do this. I want to shift gears a little bit. Just a reminder, we just go to 7:30 tonight. I'll actually go on social on ESPN Los Angeles after, so we'll continue this Lakers talk conversation. But LAFC versus Seattle Sounders, that's coming up at 7:30. Before this show ends, I got to get into this Lou Williams stuff because at the end of the day, you know, this I think could have an effect on the entire NBA bubble, and it's been a conversation. Everybody's been given their 2 cents. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Lou Williams. Plus, Magic Johnson was on The Jump, and he talks about finishing off this Orlando bubble, was making a case for LeBron, should win MVP, all this good stuff from Magic. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. I'm getting excited, Laker fans. Very, very excited. Mario puts together some of these promos. Just gets me pumped up. So it's all happening this Thursday. Lakers and the Clippers, the restart will happen. Big conversation that went on this weekend. Thank you to Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times joining the show. She's inside that bubble. But let me just spend a few minutes here on Lou Williams. All right. Listen, I'm all for, and I've said this every time, family first. You know, whatever it is that you have, if you got to get out of the bubble, you get out. I have no problem with any player that decides that the bubble's not for them. Avery Bradley, David Price of the Dodgers. This is just, it is what it is. I get it. And I support anybody that decides, you know, they're obviously going to come out. But I think it is a different line that you walk when you're coming back in. And the conversation was actually pretty comical because who would have thought that there's a strip club that is known for their food? That's what I mentioned to Mason and Ireland, that, you know, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that, yeah, I'm going there for the food. But apparently, this is supposed to be a fantastic place when it comes to food as well. So the wings are a very popular hit at this establishment. But I think, look, I'm trying to look out for the entire NBA. I'm trying to look out for the entire league, and I'm trying to look out for the bubble getting complete. Now, it's easy for me to sit in this seat. I have a microphone in front of me, and I get the opportunity to tell somebody, you shouldn't do that. Well, okay, you know, I also can do whatever the hell I want, and I'm not in a bubble, and I don't have the restrictions these players have. And if I want to go down and walk to Starbucks tomorrow, I can do it. Or if I want to go to a restaurant and enjoy, you know, a nice meal on the patio, I have the ability to do that. Obviously, the NBA and these players, they are incredibly, incredibly disciplined in what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. So I thought the news that came out about Lou Williams, I thought it was, my honest opinion, I thought it was careless. I thought it was selfish in a way. Now, Tracy McGrady made an argument on The Jump and said, well, what if he was at Applebee's? Then what? You still going to think it's selfish? You still think it's going to, you know, be careless? I guess what it came down to me was this. It came down to somebody tagged Lou Williams that he was there. So what if that photo never came out? What if on Instagram he was never tagged? You know, maybe he goes back into this bubble and he's only quarantined for 4 days rather than 10 days. There's just, or maybe all along Lou Williams was going to tell the NBA, look, this is what I did when I was gone, so I probably need to quarantine for 10 days. Whatever the case is, it obviously, you just don't want to see the NBA risk anything. Adrian Wojnarowski, who is one of the best in the business, obviously, he was on a little bit earlier today, and he gives kind of a reaction from the league regarding Lou Williams.
Yeah, the optics are terrible for the league, and you know, they have so far been able to protect this bubble and not have any positive tests coming from players who've been in here. And just the way it looks, they're obviously allowing players to leave for a number of different family situations. Some have been funerals, some have been other family-related issues. But they knew, I think the Clippers knew, I think Lou Will and those around him knew, he was going to get popped with this significant quarantine just based on how it looked. It just wasn't a smart decision when he got out. And, you know, you talk to general managers around the league and agents, and they know in other instances when players are leaving the bubble, like there's not, for a lot of guys, this tremendous rush to get back in. But there's now starting to be some more urgency because we're getting beyond the scrimmage games. And, you know, the Clippers, the players on that team, they were not surprised Lou Will got popped the way he did.
I shouldn't be making comparisons to what's happening in Major League Baseball with the NBA because we know how different the leagues are. One's in a bubble. There's going to be a ton of travel related to baseball. Just use as an example, Dodgers are going to be traveling to Houston for their next series. So I know it's not apples to apples, but hopefully it shows how quick things can change. If a couple people get inside the bubble and they have COVID-19, it could spread like that. 13, 14 players from Miami have it, and now they're, you know, quarantining everybody else, and there's more tests coming out, and they're going to find out if any players from the Philadelphia Phillies. So I mention all that because this is so incredibly, incredibly important if we're going to get to an NBA champion that everybody follows these protocols. Now, maybe Lou Williams comes back, 10-day quarantine, no problems, no issues, but I think it's safe to say that for what the NBA is trying to accomplish, you're hoping everybody, you know, is obviously has the league in consideration, has the NBA in consideration when it comes to trying to get through the rest of the season. Okay, so Lakers-Clippers coming up this Thursday, as I mentioned, but before then, there's a lot to, there's obviously a lot to get into before then, and I'll get a chance tomorrow. Just plug a couple quick things here. I got the Sliwa show coming up tomorrow obviously on 710 ESPN with Kirk Morrison and myself. So Kirk and I will do 2.5 hours, a regular show tomorrow. And as far as the rest of tonight, so I'm going to go do a Lakers Talk social show on ESPN Los Angeles. We use Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all that stuff. So I'm going to go do that there. Coming up next right here on 710 ESPN, it's the elimination game, the round of 16, big-time game coming up, Seattle Sounders versus LAFC in the round of 16. So stay tuned in for that. That's coming up next. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk. Thank you for tuning in. All right, Power Pro Plumbing, Heating and Air. Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. I don't know. This, at least for me, is one thing that I can always reference to. I'm not a handyman. I'm not somebody that does a lot of the small things around the house. I just don't do it. So with that being said, Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air, they're definitely a company who's been a partner of this radio station for a number of years. They can take care of any plumbing issues you have. If you got an issue with your air conditioner as the weather continues to get warmer, rely on Power Pro. You've heard Kellerman talk about them. You've heard John Ireland talk about them. A ton of 710 ESPN listeners have used them. So if you ever have a problem, obviously the hope that is you don't run into a predicament. But if you ever do, go to powerproplumbing.com, and they can certainly take care of all your needs. So just a quick reminder here. I'm going to throw out the phone number. It's 800-584-4116, 800-584-4116, or visit powerproplumbing.com.